Okay, so if you're going to start something new, you click on software here, and then you go down and you click on Visual Studio 2019. What have I just got here? Okay. I don't quite know what I've got. We can close that down. Close that down. Okay. So the next thing is we want to create a new project. So we click on Create a New Project. Okay. And then be sure that this page comes up. When I was doing it in the other class, apparently I clicked, double-clicked over to get something, and this page didn't come up. You've got to get the page that lets you choose or let choose the language. And if that doesn't come up, back to get to it, or start all over. But you got to choose the language. Okay, so when I get in here to choose the language, I am going to pick Visual Basic. So language, Visual Basic, and then notice how it says filtered by Visual Basic. I would like it if it had changed the language up at the top to say Visual Basic, but it doesn't do that. But it does at least say filtered by Visual Basic. And so that tells me that it indeed is in Visual Basic. Okay, then after I've got it for Visual Basic. Okay, I scroll down and I find the thing that says Windows Form App, and it's not too far down. So you're going to click on Windows Forms App. So you go into that. And then it comes up with this part that's important. Okay, so again, if you don't get this, go back to get it. Because this is where I can pick where I want it to save and pick the name that I want it to save under. So right now it's defaulting to saving it under C Users P Grosser 11 Source REPOS. And you definitely don't want it safe there because your C drive on this machine you don't have access to if the machine goes off. Okay, so you don't want to save it there. So what you're going to do is you're going to make up a name for it. So I'm going to call it Second Day. And I am going to save Second Day on my E drive. And I'm just saving it on the root of the E drive. Okay, so I'm changing it to E, and I made the name Second Day. You can call the name anything you want. Okay, no embedded spaces, however. Okay, can I please take a picture? This thing has been acting up all day. Maybe there it will let me take the picture. Yes. So then I hit create, and it will set up the project for me. Okay, so here is the project that it set up. And if you don't see the form there, double-click on where it says Form 1 here under the Solution Explorer, and you'll then see the form. But sometimes it doesn't show the form right away. The toolbox frequently doesn't show either. It frequently is written down the side there. If you click on it, it comes up. If you want to have it temporarily locked in so that you can always see it, you turn the little pin to point down, and then it locks it in. if you decide you're done with it, you don't want it anymore, you turn the pin to the side, and then it goes away. Okay? But when I'm creating a form, I want my pin to be locked in. Okay? So now I can drag things over. So I can drag over a label, I can drag over a text box, I can drag over a button, and those are the only ones that we've looked at. There's a lot of other things you can drag over, but those are the things we've looked at. So I drag those three over. Now, when I drag something over, I want to give it a name other than label one, text box one, button one, because when I go back and look at this 6 months from now, I'm not going to know what button one meant. So I want to make a name for it. So you go over to the properties. And in the properties, I prefer the A to Z. You can go either way. They either organize it by what it does or by letters of the alphabet. And I find I like the A to Z better. For one thing, it then puts three things up at the top, one of which is the name. And that puts it up the top so it's easy to get to. So I like that way of setting it up. So I'm going to have the A through Z. Then I come over here to button one, and I'm going to call it BTN click. Okay? And that's the professional way of doing it. Three characters at the front that tell the type. Switch over to a capital when you get to the fourth character, and then back to lowercase. And that's the way the professionals do it, so that's the way that you should do it. Okay? So, I've now named this button click. I also want to change what it says. And so, when I want to change what it says, I can scroll down to the text at the bottom and change that, and I'm going to have it say click. Okay, so now it is saying click. Okay, so now it's saying click. Then I want to name the text box. And I'm going to name the text box, and I'm going to call it TXT name. Okay? Or whatever I want to call it, but it's TXT, and then it should refer to what you're going to put in that text box. And I'm going to put the person's name, so I'm calling it text name. Now, I don't want anything written inside it. I want the user to write something inside it, so I'm not going to change the text property. It really is acting up today. Okay, so I've changed that. And I'm calling it text name. And then I come over to the label, and I'm going to change the name there, and I'm going to call it LBL name. Now, this one isn't as important to change most of the time, because usually this is just going to tell what the field next to it is, and I'm not going to actually use it in the code. But it's still considered more professional to give it a real name. So I'm calling it LBL name. And then I scroll down and I find the text tag and I change that and I'm going to put NAME colon. Okay? Now it doesn't change it until I move the cursor someplace. But once I move the cursor someplace, it changes it, and it now says name. Okay? So I've now got three things on here. I can take and put the next text box up. I didn't mean to put up two more, so I'll take one away. My mouse is overly sensitive, I think. Okay, so now I've got a box down here, and I'm going to call this text greeting, which is what I called it the last time. So I'm calling it text greeting. Okay? And so now I've got it set up the way I did the last time. Now, what I've got is I set up a form. Okay, so I've set up a form. And now I want to use that form. And it is mainly involved in events. So when I have a button and I click on the button, it's going to cause things to happen. And that's the way I program this. I set up the form, and then I have things that happen, events, and those events call for certain code to be executed. We're going to use mainly the click event, which means that when I click on a button, something happens. Well, I've got to code the something that happens, okay? So I'm going to double click on the click button, and it comes up with what you see here. Microsoft puts in public class form 1, which is my form. And then it puts in N class, and those have to be there. Then it puts in private sub button click underscore click. That means that this handles the click event associated with button click. So when button click is clicked, this is what will happen. So I put the code in here that I want to happen when I click the button. So I'm saying I want text greeting. I want to change the text in text greeting. It's now nothing. And I want it to equal the word hello and a space after the hello so I can concatenate it with text name.text because I want the text property of text name. So whatever they type into text name, I will take that, concatenate it with hello, and assign it as the text for text greeting. Okay, so they type something into text name. The thing they type in there is the text. So I'm taking the text, concatenating it with hello, and making it the text that I put into text greeting. Does that make sense? So now when I hit start, okay, I am going to put in David, and then I'm going to click. And when I click, it says, hello, David. So it took the David, concatenated it with hello, and put it in there as hello, David. Okay? So that's how I get things to work. Okay? Questions. Yeah.
What's that second word after hello text?
Hello, David.
No, I'm still trying to put in my message for the clip up top. Text greeting dot
text equals hello
equals
concatenated with text name dot text.
Text name, okay, let me catch my page there.
Okay. So now I am done with this. The little brown box up there can be clicked on, or the X on the form can be clicked on, and that stops the run. And then if I want to get out of this, I do a file, save all. and be sure you save everything. So it's file, save all, and then I can close it down. Okay. So I did a file, save all, and then I can close it down. Okay. Now, if I want to bring up a program, and I'm going to bring up the one that we, a different one, just so you can do it. If I go to pgrocer, okay, so I'm going to go to Firefox, and I'm going to go to programs, and I'm going to click basicmath.zip. I want a different one than the one we did last time. So I'm clicking basicmath.zip. Okay, now a lot of you may have your own techniques for downloading, but I was asked in the other class how I did it. And I just right-click on it and say save link as. Okay, that's how I do it. I right-click and I say save link as. And then I save it. So I'm going to save it on my E-Drive, except that I've already got something on my E-Drive with that name, so I'm going to make it Basic Math 1. But you don't have to do that, but I've already got something there, okay, from Basic Math. So I'm calling it Basic Math 1. I then save it. Okay, then I go to my File Explorer, and I go to my E-Drive, and there's Basic Math 1. I right-click on it and tell it to extract all. And it extracts everything, and then I have it available to me. And I just want to save that on the screen. Okay, so I go and I click on Basic Math 1, and it's got inside it Basic Math. Then I pick the one that says 10, because that is the one that I want to open. Some of you may have that with a .slm extension. That's the extension that that has, is a .slm extension. So I then okay. Let me get rid of the ink. Then I click on the one with the 10 and it opens Visual Studio. Okay, so now I've got Visual Studio open for me. The form didn't come up. When the form doesn't come up, I just double-click on it, and it comes up. Okay, so there's my form. And on this one, I have first, second, and a place to put the answer. And I've got a bunch of different buttons. And so if you click on the add button, for example, it brings up the add routine. And I've got a button associated with each of the, a code associated with each of the buttons. Notice the button close says me.close with the two parentheses. Me.close means close the current form. The current form is called me. And I'm closing the current form. Okay? Now, up here under the add, I have three different things. Notice the first two are green, and they have a single quote in front of them. That means that they were commented out. So putting a single quote in front of a line turns it into a comment. Okay? So I commented those out. I wanted to discuss three things, and so I want only one to be active, and the other two I made comments.
Okay.
So on this one, I am taking what is in the first text box. I'm taking the text in the first text box, and I'm converting it to an integer. Things out on the form are considered string or text. So if I want to do a calculation with them, it is safest to convert them. And for doing something like this, I have to convert it. So I convert it over, and it does an add, and I assign it to textanswer.text, which is another text box. Another way of doing it is the one I commented out above, which uses the word val instead of cint. That's an older way of doing it, and it also will convert everything. Okay? Cint converts to an integer. CDEC converts to a decimal. Convert DEC converts to a decimal number. Val just converts to a number, either one, integer or... But it's a little bit not the latest way of doing it, okay? The top one does not have any conversion, and so it will concatenate. Okay, it is going to concatenate. Now, you can always convert everything to a number, and there's some places I'll show you where you have to. But for now, the subtract, the multiply, and the divide look okay. And so it's okay to not have those converted. Okay? But it's obviously always it's not ever a bad idea to convert things. So if I run this, and I put in a 12, and I put in a 4, and I say add, it gives me 16. And if I say subtract, it gives me 8. Multiply gives me 48, and divide gives me 3. So I can do all of those. And for some reason, it does not want me to take the picture of that. Okay, now it's cooperating. Okay, so if I get done with this, if I've made any changes, I want to do a save all. If I haven't, I can just say close solution. And it closes up my solution. So now I can either, if I'm sitting in Visual Basic, I can click on open a project or solution if I want to open something that exists. So if I'm sitting in Visual Basic, I can say just open a project or a solution. Okay? If I'm not sitting in Visual Basic, I can actually go out and bring the thing up. So if I was not in Visual Basic, I can go here. Let me take that over. I can go here, and then I can go and look for something that I want to see, like the old thing that I had, and I can bring it up by clicking on the 10. So if I go in, I can just go in here and choose. Okay, so on my F drive, for example, I have all of them. So there's VB. And I want to open First Math. So I'm going to click on First Math and open it. And it just goes right into Visual Basic and opens it. It comes up and lets me click on the one with the 10 on it. And then I've got Visual Basic open. it opened it in code mode because I probably left it in code mode. If I want to see design, I go back to design mode. Okay? It depends on whether it opens in design mode or code mode, depending on how you left it. And so if you left it in code mode, then it opens it that way. Okay? So it opened it in code mode, but it allows me to go in and see the design of the form. There we go. Okay, so this one has three other buttons beyond the basic math. Question one, question two, and using variable. So we're going to take a look at the if statements that are in those questions. So I'm going to click on question one, and that brings up the code that I have. So question one is basic use of an if statement. Okay, notice there are no curly braces like there are in JavaScript. Okay, but what there is instead is an end if. So I say if, else, end if. Okay, so with curly braces, I say if, and then I put what I want to do in curly braces. Then I have an else, and I put what I want to do if it's not true in curly braces. Here, the end if ends it. So I say if, and I can have 10 instructions in here. Else, I can have 10 instructions in here, but the end if tells it that the if is done. And any commands that I put below the end if are not part of the if. They get executed by everything. Okay? Notice also the then. And if you don't add the then, Microsoft will put it in for you. Okay? I can't tell you how many times, and it was probably at least half of the time when I was coding in this, I forgot to put the then in. Okay? And Microsoft, one of the things I appreciate from them when they fix things is that they put the then in automatically. So I don't have to remember it anymore. Okay? So if textfirst.text equals textsecond.text, then print out the message same in textanswer.text. Else, put out the word different in textanswer.text. Okay? So I have a very basic if statement there. And if I run this, and I'm going to put letters in. So I'm putting A, B, C, or apparently I'm just putting B, C. A, B, C in both of these. And so then when I say question one, it comes out and tells me they're the same. If I change one of these, so I added a D after it, and then click question one, it's now telling me they are different. Okay, so I've got a very simple if statement going on there. And it's telling me they're the same and they're different. Okay? Now the next one, I wanted to do a comparison between two numeric fields and find out which one is greater. And I have a problem. Everything on the form is stored as text or string data. So when I store something as text or string data, if I put a 1, 2 in there, it goes over next to the left wall. If it's a numeric, and I store something in the field, it goes over against the right wall. Okay, so everything on the form is stored as text or string. So it goes over against the left wall. So let's say I have two numbers that I want to compare. I'm trying to get that to be, and I'm making it worse. If I have a 3 as text, it stores it that way. If I have a 3 as a number, it stores it that way. So what happens is, if I'm comparing and asking which one is greater, if it is text or string, the first character gets compared. And the first character is a 3 in one of them and a 1 in another. The 3 is bigger, so the 3 wins, because the 3 is greater than the 1. And so this becomes the greater one. 3 becomes greater. And that's not what I want. If I convert them over to integer, which is what I did up here, I converted them to integer. If I convert them to integer and then compare, they're over against a different wall. It compares and knows that when I do a numeric comparison, 3 is not greater than 12. Okay? So it compares them differently if they're text or if they're numeric. Okay. It automatically zero fills on a number, and so it just does the comparison correctly. But on a string, it doesn't. So if I want to compare two numerics that are different size, especially, if they're both two digits, then I'm fine. But if one of them is a two-digit number and one of them is a five-digit number, they're not going to compare correctly as string. And so what I need to do is I need to do that convert to an integer. Okay? So I'm converting it over to an integer. So then I said, okay, if text first converted to an integer is greater than text second converted to an integer, put out the message first is greater than second. Else, if they're less, put out the message that it's less. Else, put out this message that they're equal. Okay? But to do that, I made the conversions. Okay, so this is an if inside an if. So I am asking here, is first greater than second? If it is, then my message is that first is the greater. If not, I want to ask another question. And the other question is first less than second? And if it is, then first is less. And if it's not, then they are equal. And then I close the if on the bottom question. And notice these kind of circles are closing the if, they're the end if. And then I close it down here, and I have another end if. So those are my two end ifs. Okay, the go. So I close the first one with an end if, close the second with the end if. Notice that Visual Basic takes control and embeds the else and if inside, so it lines them up and indents for you. So it takes care of doing all of the indenting all by itself. So if you write an if statement and you don't write it correctly, it will move the if and the else in so that everything lines up very nicely. Okay, and it does that for you automatically, which makes the code a lot easier to read and all that good stuff. questions? Yeah.
Yes, on the workshop.
Whoops.
I couldn't read what it said. It said first and then I couldn't read what was under there.
It was some comment about, that will bring up thing. But these will go up tonight or tomorrow morning. Okay, there it is.
So what one can't you read?
Yes. The first, I don't know what
first it is. GR, first
GR.
Grader.
Okay.
It doesn't matter, it just has to be something similar to what I'm putting in over here. First, less, equal.
Okay. You solved a problem, I gather.
Compiler. For some reason, it wasn't compiler.
Yeah, every once in a while. I had something I was doing last night that I swore, you know, I was doing it right. And it was telling me, no, I wasn't doing it right. So I took it over to show my husband. And as soon as I started showing him, and it was on a different computer, it started working. Then I went back to my computer and it was working again, too. I have no idea. Anyway, flying saucers happen. So, now if I look at this next one, I am defining a work area. I'm defining a variable. In JavaScript, we define a variable with a VAR. Here, we define it with a DIM. So I'm saying dim work answer as integer. So I set it up as an integer. If I wanted it to be a decimal, I could say as decimal. And then it would allow decimal numbers. So I'm defining it as an integer. Now I am defining it inside a subroutine. I'm defining it inside a subroutine. I've got the private sub up above, and then I'm defining it. That means it is a local variable. And what a local variable is it's a variable that this subroutine knows about. It's private to this subroutine. This subroutine knows about it, but the subroutines up above don't know anything about it. If I tried to use work answer, because I said dim work answer, if I tried to use work answer in one of these other routines, it would give me an error. Because work answer doesn't exist except inside this one subroutine. Okay? It exists only in this one subroutine. Now, if I decide that I want work answer to be available to other subroutines, then I go up, and right up at the top, I define it up there. Okay, and I already had it there apparently because I wrote it last class. But I define it up here, right under public class. And that means it is global, which means it's available to all subroutines. So now, putting it up there, work answer is available to all subroutines. So putting it down below made it local. Putting it up here makes it available to all the subroutines. And you should only do one or the other. I've got two of them here because I was showing. But you either make it local or you make it global. You don't make it both. Now, for your purposes, probably making things global is easier because then it's available to everything. When you get into more sophisticated code, there are times when you want to have it private to a particular subroutine, you declare it as local. But for your purposes, you're not going to run into that so you can make it go either way. Okay, so I'm going to keep it local because that's where I started out. So I'm taking it out of here. And now it is local only. So I said down here, work answer, okay, so I set up a variable, and I said, okay, dim work answer as an integer. And then I said, work answer equals text first dot text minus text second dot text. And then I'm testing, is work answer greater than zero? If it is, then I put out the message greater than zero. Else, I put the message out not greater than zero. Okay? So I'm looking for a positive number versus a negative number. And I'm putting that out. So I'm using a work area. Okay? So right now, I have put text answer is just a message telling me whether the answer was greater than zero or not. If I wanted to put work answer out there, I could assign work answer to another box on my form. Okay. Questions? Okay. For a while now, I want you to bring up a program that you have did on Tuesday, or if you didn't do one on Tuesday, bring up one of mine. I would suggest basic math or math basic, whichever it is, because that's a fairly basic one. But bring up, open something, bring it up, and go in and start putting in some if statements and do some work with it to get a few if statements in there where you test for a few things and kind of play around with string and text and just play around with it for a little bit. And I want to make sure that everybody's able to bring it up and able to do that, so Joan and I will help if you are having problems. So bring up one that you wrote last time and start modifying it so it has this statement. Use one line. Or start from scratch if you want. But my basic math one that we looked at earlier today, I think would work. Okay, so you're back in business?
Yeah, I got one of the other ones. Mine wasn't working.
Okay,
couldn't figure it out, so.
That's fine.
Usually Visual Basic seems easier to people than JavaScript, but I'm not sure.
See, I don't know. no, I don't like JavaScript. I say JavaScript was not this, I don't know. JavaScript's easy to
people. Yeah. Did you notice how many of the guy people that came in and spoke to the class that they were in JavaScript?
Almost the darkest of all, but
So
did you start to ask a question?
I asked
it. Oh, okay. No, I thought you said something when I was saying something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I overrode you.
Okay, don't click on the label. So what you're doing every time you're double-clicking is you're opening up another sub-procedure. So the only thing you should double-click on are your events, which are going to be the button click at this point. So what we're going to do, let's close out some of this because we got a lot of stuff going on in here. So, see how it's doing label 2 click? Mm-hmm. You don't need any of that. And for some reason, that one.
If you're having trouble bringing it up, let us know.
Okay.
Again, I do the save link as.
So, when we go to, let's say we're going to do a button. So, I click add. Now, we have our event handler. It builds it for us. So, that means there's an issue with the way that something's made.
I love that. That's all. I know that. Okay, so I guess we can respond and get...
Call the naming convention.
Then I have to go back to the meeting.
Yes, it is. So now we go to from whole law to lead, I guess.
Okay, so, see how this is just add? Whenever we name something, like a button, or a label, or a text box, always want to create a prefix for it. So, like, label is LBL, text box is TXT, button is BTN.
Yes.
The reason for that?
So we find the decimal.
Is that lets us know what it is for a code. Also makes life easier. We go in here, we just erase this again. Let's try it again. So now it's BTN, so now it knows, okay, that's a button. So it just makes it easier for you and makes it easier for the computer.
Yeah, and then I record the buttons with the domain.
Yep.
So, I don't have to do anything to this one?
No, you just have to go back, you need to rename what we use in the convention. So like this needs to be LBL num1, this could be LBL num2, something to let us know what's going on, very similar to variable naming. The other thing here is like, this one here should be TXT first box.
It is a whole language, exactly.
Same thing on that side, TXT.
Just if you could look at, you know, listen to the video and so forth, if you want to show up at 2 o'clock, you know, Joe will be around and I'll step you through the beginning. But, you know, basically, Tuesday was the day that started on this. But if you go into one of my programs, there are the programs, and then that basic math one is the one to look at. Download that and unzip it. And,
I have like an error over here.
Okay, I don't know why that's doing that, but it's basically claiming that you may have moved it or something.
Okay,
I'll try. Yeah, we should just close that down.
You gotta extract it.
Get rid of all of that.
He didn't extract it.
He didn't extract it?
No.
Okay, I missed that, sorry.
Okay.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, when you I do a save link as and then extract. Lots of times it gives you the impression that it did a twofer. Don't believe it. Go through the separate steps of saving it as a zip file and then extracting from the zip file. I do a save link as. How do you do it? Don't be sure that you extract, because if you don't, okay, so basically, if you go back to the design folder and bring up the two boxes, okay, so I dragged over a label to make that. And then you can put on the text box, like dragging that text box, and put it again on the button by itself somewhere. And then you can make a button by dragging over a button. Okay, so those are, and then you come down here and you name it.
I mean,
I saw that. double click on it. And that will give you an area where that you want to happen when somebody clicks on that light. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's just some of the real quick basics.
Okay. Thank you.
So now I got to start all over again?
Yep.
Oh my God.
Yeah, watch your tabs at the bottom.
Yeah.
You gotta really kind of use some memory management. If you have like 7 instances of Chrome at the bottom or 3 or 4 projects open, it's gonna create a problem.
I'm gonna improve.
How did you manage to get 7 open? You just rebooted.
I don't know. It's like everything that was up there before I rebooted came up there again.
Uh-huh.
It just showed up, it didn't disappear.
So, Joe, can I ask you a question?
Maybe.
And then again.
Depends on how tough it is.
No, that's when you can answer it.
Yeah, so I just need to be texted.
No. Okay, so when we look at we pull up the form designer. Okay. So, where do we input? And where else?
Is this my picture?
Mm-hmm. And where do we want that input to go once we've done our argument?
The answer?
Mm-hmm. So if we need the answer to be the combination of first and second num, isn't it best to have it answer equal first num plus second num?
Oh, wait. Oh, God. Before I do anything, I should close up
the number and use the num. It's right there. It's 2 minutes. So hit tab.
Oh.
And then .text.
Okay, I always have to put the .text.
Yes, because we need to make it so that it's readable text.
Okay.
And then finish that. Text box. There we go.
That was good.
And then you need to add the other one.
So when I do the dividing all of this, I use the text.
Yes, you're going to output your answer to that, same line.
Yep. Okay, is everybody getting a few if statements in there and playing around with them? You can use ands and ors just like you can in other languages, but the word and is and as opposed to the double ampersand that you see in JavaScript, and or instead of the two pipes you see in JavaScript. So you can put 2 conditions and say if code equals A and amount equals 500 or something like that. So you can put ands and ors in your if statements.
Get frustrated.
No, I didn't
get frustrated. Did
you
call me special?
Well, we didn't decide whether that was a compliment or an insult.
I'm thinking it's a compliment.
Because you converted it to, what did you enter in?
Right. I'll say yes. Surprise.
Yeah, but it's giving you an error.
I'll be a 10.
So if I click this.
And it's saying the source file is different. Get out. Okay, so that X stayed with it. If text answer 1, it doesn't like text answer 1. What's text answer 1? Fill out the form. Let's see what text answer 1 is. Alright. So now that may be the whole problem.
Yep. Okay.
Yes, it's the little thing that gets you every time.
Now the debugger will be true.
Huh? Okay, so it's now. Questions, anyone? Okay, I'm going to look at one more and then have you experiment with that. So bring up. Bring up the one that says user input zip. So if you haven't already unzipped them, unzip the one that says user input zip. Okay? And I want to look at that. So bring up user input zip and then open it by clicking on the SLN. You're going to bring this up, unzip it, and extract so that you have a running version. And bring this up so that you are running user input. Okay, this one is taking in user input from a pop-up that will ask the user to enter some user input. So I defined 3 memory variables. One of them was work hours, one of them was work pay per hour, one of them was work gross pay. And I defined them all as decimal, so that I can have decimal numbers in them, not just integers. So I defined these as decimal. Then I decided, rather than putting things on the form,
I wanted the user to be prompted to input the information. So I set up these input boxes. And if you watch it, we're going to watch it and see it run. So I'm going to enter a name, and I'm entering David. And then it says, click here. So I'm clicking here. And notice what came up. I got a pop-up box. And the pop-up box has enter hours worked, which I have there, comma hours, and hours is up there. So that tells them what the pop-up box is going to look like. So I'm entering hours worked 40. Okay, so I entered hours worked as 40. Let me take a picture again. There it worked. And then I click OK. And paper hour is 50. And it really doesn't want to cooperate today. And then I click OK to that. So as you can see, what's happening is I'm getting these pop-ups. And I said, okay, that first one came up. Whatever the user entered went into work hours, which is one of my variables. On the second pop-up, whatever they entered is going to go into work pay per hour, which is another one of my variables. Okay, so that's going into work pay per hour. Then I click on the OK, and it gives me the answer. So it went in, and it multiplied work pay per hour times work hours, and stored that in one of my variables called work gross pay. And then I said, okay, now take work gross pay and format it to currency. So that means it adds in dollar signs, commas, and all those things to make it currency. Format it to currency, and then assign it to the text box called text gross pay. Make it the text in the text box, text gross pay. Okay, so this gets into variables a little more. I'm now taking in information and storing it in a variable, doing a calculation and putting it in a variable, and then taking the what's in the variable and assigning it to text gross pay. Okay? And in the process of assigning it there, I said, okay, convert it to currency so that what I'm assigning there will have dollar signs, commas, and all that good stuff. So whatever you have there, I'd like you to now add something that takes in an input box, gets some information, and does a calculation with it. So you have to have a variable, and you have to take in some information, and then put it up on the form. So do something similar to what I've done here. Experimenting with variables, input boxes, putting something in a variable out on a form, doing a calculation. There's a lot of things in there to experiment with.